WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. A wildfire in a remote area near Woodstock continues to grow, but the Forest Service says it's not threatening property. In response to Democrats' promise to pass gun control legislation in Richmond, a few rural areas around Virginia are declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. And health officials say Virginia's psychiatric hospitals are overloaded and need an infusion of money. But State Senator Cree Deeds disagrees with that diagnosis. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, November 21st. A wildfire in a remote area of Page and Shenandoah counties continues to grow. The U.S. Forest Service says the Kennedy Peak Fire has grown to more than 600 acres, or nearly 1 square mile of forest land since it started a week ago. That fire is burning in parts of the George Washington and Jefferson National Forests, about 9 miles southeast of Woodstock. The Forest Service says fire crews have the fire about 35% contained with fire lines. The Forest Service says the fire poses no risk to property, and the fire is clearing out a lot of material on the forest floor to help trees grow in the future. At least 6 rural areas in Virginia, from Danville to the counties of Appomattox and Dinwiddie, are declaring themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries. From VPM News, Ben Pavier reports.
Democrats have vowed to pass gun control laws with their new majorities in the legislature. Gun rights advocate Philip Van Cleef says the sanctuary movement is partly a response to that.
This is huge. Never seen gun owners reacting in this way.
Cleef says the sanctuaries could encourage local sheriffs to decide not to enforce gun laws passed by the state. Tim Zick, who teaches at William & Mary Law School, says it's not clear whether sheriffs can ignore gun laws entirely.
I think we are in uncharted waters in terms of the potential scope of unenforcement.
The Attorney General's office says they expect everyone will follow any new gun laws that might be passed by the General Assembly. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Health officials say Virginia's psychiatric hospitals are overloaded and need an infusion of money. Virginia Secretary of Health and Human Resources Daniel Carey says state hospitals have been operating at 90% capacity or higher for the past 3 years. The Daily Press reports Carey is seeking nearly $20 million over the next 2 years to add 56 beds at Catawba State Hospital near Roanoke. That would be on top of more than $4 million the hospital has received already this year. But State Senator Cree Deeds, chairman of the Mental Health Subcommittee, disagrees with the proposal. He's been fighting since his son died in 2013 to increase efforts to help people struggling with mental illness before they need a hospital. The state legislature has promised more funding for community mental health services. Data from the Federal Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration say that Virginians get less community care than most Americans. About a decade ago, Virginia abandoned the estate tax. Well, now some are hoping that Democrats bring it back. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Rich people in Virginia pay the lowest share of their income in taxes, according to the Commonwealth Institute. That's an imbalance they say puts a larger burden on low-income people. Chris Wattica is a policy analyst at the Institute, and he says the solution is a new estate tax that would capture revenue from real estate, security, business interests.
So right now, a lot of capital gains that are held by large estates never go taxed because of how our tax system is set up currently.
Jared Walczak at the Tax Foundation says most states have been moving in the other direction, getting rid of estate taxes because of the competitive disadvantage they create.
When states vary on their estate tax provisions, very high net worth individuals towards the end of their life leave the state and do tax planning around that, which means they're not paying other taxes for the last years of their life to that state.
Now that Democrats are in control of the General Assembly, advocacy groups on both sides of the estate tax debate will be lobbying hard. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, the newest exhibit at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts in Richmond takes experiential art to a new level. The museum has created a famous painting of a hotel room where guests can actually spend a night. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain checked it out and has this report.
It's a bit uncanny. On the wall is Edward Hopper's famous 1957 painting, Western Motel. It shows a woman on a dark-framed bed in a room with green walls and a green rug and a large window framing a bland, hilly landscape. Then, right next to it, is a life-size replica.
And it is a real room with a real hotel bed and suitcases and lamp, and it's where our visitors will spend the night.
Michael Taylor is chief curator at the Virginia Museum of Fine Arts. He stands in front of a window that peers voyeuristically into the room. It's a mirror image of the painting beside it, down to the way a block of light falls across the bed.
I don't find it creepy. I find, like, what I'm trying to do all the time is, like, match and see how close we replicate it, because we did a lot of lighting designs and tests to get the shadows right. People are as much drawn to this recreation as they are to the actual painting, and it makes you see the painting in a different way, which I love.
The museum has already sold out the special overnight packages, which include a private guided tour of the exhibit, plus dinner at the museum's restaurant. But the exhibit is also now open for those content to just see and not live in Hopper's paintings. Leo Mazo is the curator.
Edward Hopper was the foremost American realist of 20th century American art. You know, if you were in an art history class, you would have to memorize these works.
Hopper's understated oil paintings depict motels, waiting rooms, and diners. He and his wife, also an artist, would road trip around the country searching for inspiration. The exhibit features her road trip diaries and postcards, alongside his paintings of the commonplace.
He wants to say that the meanings by which we measure our lives happen in the everyday. There's extreme happiness, there's great tumult and tragedy. But what about the in-between moments, the other 85 or 90% of our lives? That's what he captures.
When Hopper first rose to prominence in the mid-19th century, abstract expressionism was in its heyday. Hopper's gritty and gloomy hotel lobbies were a sharp departure from Jackson Pollock's expressive splashes of color.
Hopper wanted to show you that realism, representational art, could be as heady, as probing, as philosophically and even spiritually deep as the abstraction.
The VMFA's special exhibit, Edward Hopper and the American Hotel, will be open through the end of February. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.